your outline as we continue. This is the next to the last of the messages in the series. This one here is, how does the Holy Spirit use me? More of a personalized question for each of us to ask that. How does the Holy Spirit use each of us? Does he desire to? Yes, we've seen throughout the Word of God. One of the ministries the Holy Spirit has in the life and body of Christ, the church, is to use each member. We have let me begin with an illustration. I'm sure you have probably heard of the Iditarod, the trail dog sled race there in Alaska. They have it every year, and it's a race that goes on for hundreds of miles and a number of days through severe weather conditions, through all sorts of wilderness areas too, without any help. They're on their own, okay? But the sled dogs are bred that they have as pulling those sleds. They're bred and they're selected and they're trained for the long distance race ahead of them. They're trained for stamina and strength. They're trained for endurance in that kind of environment. It's interesting, when they're resting and sleeping in between the laps, if you will, the legs of the race, it's not unusual for them that they don't bring them inside, they remain outside throughout the night. And it could very well be during a blizzard as well. And so they'll be oftentimes covered with snow, having rested for the next leg of the trip. But once the trainer comes, once the driver comes with a sled, boy, they get up with all sorts of energy, all sorts of enthusiasm. You've probably seen pictures of that where they're barking and they're just so eager to go. One of the trainers said, these dogs are only completely happy when they're on the trail. No matter what the weather condition is, no matter what the temperature is, no matter what the terrain, that's when they are the happiest, when they're on the trail and doing what they have been trained and bred for. Now, just think for a moment. If you brought one of those sled dogs back here to Pennsylvania and you wanted to go bird hunting with them, you think that would work? No. The dog would say, where's the snow? Where's the sled? Where's the race? Or take, if you will, Henry's beagle, and or Bradley's pointer, and you brought them up for the Iditarod and you put them on a sled. You think that would work? Absolutely not. Both dogs would be looking at their owners and say, are you nuts? I don't think those dogs would be filled with enthusiasm for what was ahead of them. The point is, as you I'm sure see, is that each dog is bred for a particular part that they have. They're with certain strengths, certain abilities, certain endurances, if you will, certain gifts. It's the same with Christians too. We are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're members in the body of Christ, and we don't all do the same thing. We don't all have the same skills. We don't all have the same spiritual gifts, but we all have spiritual gifts. So come with me, if you will, into the Word of God as we see how God will use each of us. There in your outline before you, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, just the affirmation of that truth, it says, as each one has received a gift, he's talking about the spiritual gifts, from the Holy Spirit, minister or serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God wants us to be good stewards of all that he has given to us and entrusted to us. And part of those giftings, if you will, the spiritual gifts for ministry and service. We need to know that we have spiritual gifts given to each of us by the Holy Spirit. And just a little explanation why that you have before you on your outline, so that we will not fail to serve the Lord as effectively as we might, but also to enjoy serving him as fully as we can. If you are serving the Lord with your spiritual gift, you will find great effectiveness in ministry, fruitfulness of ministry, but you also have joy. One of our elders, and we were talking at breakfast yesterday, and it was John. And we're talking about, you know, when people are happy where they're working. You ask the average person, are you happy where you work? Well, you know, it's a job. Yeah, I've been there too. I've had those jobs too. But you know, when you're serving the Lord and you have that match of ministry, of service, of opportunity, where you have been gifted and shaped for that ministry, for that service, for that place in the body of Christ, there's great joy. And we're going to see why, okay? But also, if we follow there, there are some gifts that we will never have. Some gifts that you have that I will not have. But that's okay. And vice versa. But all Christians need each other as we live in a context of mutual ministry and spiritual growth. Take a look, if you will, at the passage before you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, defines, if you will, the diversity, the differences of the gifts, but also opportunities. There are different kinds of gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but the same Lord to serve. And there are different ways that God works through people, but the same God. God works in all of us in everything we do. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. Every one of you in Christ Jesus has at least one spiritual gift, if not more. Can be seen in each person for the common good. Our talents, our skills, our abilities are all used by the Holy Spirit in ministering one to another. We'll take a look at what are some of the goals of that ministering as we minister together. But the word gift comes from the word charisma or charismata. The plural form of it, but the root of that means grace, charis. And it is a grace of God that gives us the gifts. He's given you a gift by His grace. He's given every one of us to manifest that grace and that gift. Not that God isn't working in other areas. Let me name a few other areas that the Holy Spirit works, not just through the spiritual gifts. He works in our spiritual devotions, or our spiritual disciplines, rather. He works through our Bible study time. The Holy Spirit ministers to us through the Word. He works through our prayer times as we're praying one for another, as we're praying for others. He works in our fellowship. He works in many ways. Now, not to put you on the spot, remember we began this year and we said we'd like to encourage every individual and every home to have devotions each day. How are your devotions coming? If you're married, we'd like to encourage you to have devotions together as husband and wife. That doesn't in any way exempt you from those personal times that you have with the Lord individually, but we'd like to encourage husbands and wives to have devotions together. We also like to have encourage families to have devotions as a family. The Holy Spirit works in our devotions as well. We begin to see things in the Word of God that we didn't see before. We can encourage one another as we maybe didn't do before. But I want to encourage you. Now the new Daily Bread is coming out, and we have it on one of the back tables there, beginning in March. It's hard to believe we're almost at the end of February. But how is your devotions coming? You see, the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through each of us. And so we're not limiting the work of the Holy Spirit this morning just to the spiritual gifts. You understand that, don't you? But we do want to certainly acknowledge and recognize and also experience how the Holy Spirit works in the gifts that He has bestowed upon each of us. Well, He works through the spiritual gifts, as you can see here in your outline before us. Holy Spirit given ability to minister to others. There are different types of gifts. And in your outline before you, you see there are servant gifts. Now, in a very general sense, we're to serve each other. So all of us are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's some specific gifts to the church in the way of individuals as servants. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12 that you have in your outline there. And He gave some, gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I believe we're in Ephesians 4 church. I believe that's God's plan for every local assembly, for every local church, to be following the pattern of Ephesians 4. And part of the pattern of Ephesians 4 is the work of the Holy Spirit, where He has given servant gifts. Now, where it speaks of apostles, I believe Paul was writing when the apostles of Christ were still alive. And Peter, James, and John, and all the apostles, including Paul, one born late in time, were gifts to the church. They were apostles of Christ. We don't have apostles today. But they are part of the foundation in Christ Jesus of the body of Christ, the church. Prophets. There were prophets, and one reason the prophets were used both in the Old Testament and the New Testament period was to convey God's revelation, God's truth to God's people. Moses was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. Paul was a prophet. He had prophetic ministry as an apostle of Christ. We see other prophets in the New Testament. But I believe that once the New Testament canon, Matthew right on through Revelation, once it was complete, there was no longer a need for prophets to be that channel of conveying new revelation to the church. The revelation from God is complete for the church today. That's called the New Testament in its entirety. In its entirety, also the entire Bible, the Old and New Testament. And so there are some gifts of people that God gave to the church during the very beginning days and the birth of the church there on the day of Pentecost that no longer exist today because the Word of God is here in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. There are evangelists. I think Billy Graham is a God-given evangelist. You probably would agree with that. I think some of the other evangelists throughout the history of the church, evangelists and pastors and teachers. But why did God give these servants? So that they would do the work? Yes. But what part of their work was, take a look at that last part of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, to equip the saints. I know you don't like to be called a saint, do you? Well, sure you do. You should, because that's how God calls you. You're a saint in Christ Jesus. And so it's to equip the saints, to prepare the saints, to train the saints, to enable the saints to be involved in the work of the ministry. As I say, in general speaking, we are all saints of Christ and do service for Christ in the church. But in the context of spiritual gifts, it's clear that the Holy Spirit has gifted the church with certain servants. But also, come to your next point, if you will, in your outline there, there are service gifts. Gifts to minister. And that, I believe, God has given to each and every one of us. Gifts for ministry. We see the gifts listed in Romans and 1 Corinthians and also in 1 Peter. Those aren't exhaustive. They aren't exhaustive lists. What I mean by that, they're not lists that are complete. I believe certainly there are many other gifts, too, that the Holy Spirit gives to members in the body of Christ. But take a look, if you will, at Romans in the passage you have before you. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us what? Use them for the glory of God and for the growth of the body of Christ. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, to one who teaches in his teaching, to one who exhorts in his exhortation, to one who contributes in his generosity, to one who leads with zeal, to one who does acts with mercy, with cheerfulness. Acts of mercy, rather, with cheerfulness. What is God's purpose in giving these gifts of service? I think we can see clearly in the New Testament teaching and the experience of the early church for at least three reasons. And you have them before you in your outline. Take a look at those three reasons. The purpose or the goal is to bring about unity in the body of Christ, to bring about growth, promote growth in the body of Christ, and to glorify God. And take a look at the supporting verses, if you will, to those three goals that the Holy Spirit has in giving you a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. First of all, if you will, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We all belong. We all belong. And we all are needed. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 discusses spiritual gifts of ministry. And he said, you know, none of us can say, because I don't have that gift that you have, I don't belong here. I'm going to go somewhere else. No, if God has planted you there or here, that's where God wants you to use that. We all belong together. But then Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there may be some who say, you know, we don't need you. We only want this kind of gift. That's why you have churches that say, we're gospel churches, we only evangelize. Then you have other churches that say, we're discipling churches, we only disciple. Then you have other churches say, we're mission churches, we only raise up and support missions and send missionaries. We could go on and on and on. No, you can't divide the body of Christ up that way. We all belong. We all need one another. And we're all commissioned as a body of Christ with a great commission. Go therefore and make disciples. That includes evangelism. That includes missions. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a wonderful commission that we all have. How do we participate in that commission? Through the spiritual gifts. Through the spiritual gifts. So that here at South Mountain Bible Church, we can't say, well, we're just an evangelism church. No, we pray that we see, and we have seen, praise God, men and women and boys and girls coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We can't say that we're only a discipling church. Praise God that we are. We can't say that we're only a mission church. Praise God that we are. We are all things in Christ Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad? And you have a part in it. And the Holy Spirit has that part in your life through the gifts that he has given to you to participate for three reasons. Don't forget them. A threefold purpose. One is to promote unity in the body of Christ. Another is to promote growth in the body of Christ through the gospel, through spiritual growth and building one another up. But also the third one is to glorify God. Take a look at your outline before you. I have another of other verses that support that. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, you have before you. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, he's talking about the gifts, strive to excel in building up the body of Christ. Yeah, amen. How do you do that? One-on-one, sometimes. Sometimes it's done in groups. It's not only done on Sunday morning on the worship service, or Sunday morning in the adult Sunday school class or the under Sunday school classes. It's done throughout the week as we build one another up. And then take a look, if you will, at also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. We also see, so whether you eat or drink, boy, that's covering a lot. Huh? I love to eat, and you know I love to eat and drink, okay? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So three things, purposes that the Holy Spirit has given you a gift or gifts is to promote unity in the body of Christ, to foster spiritual growth, and to glorify God. Let's go on, if you will. There are not only, and we have to certainly acknowledge this too, because this is a very vital part of the spiritual gifts. There are not only gifts of servants, gifts of service, but there were sign gifts as well. And we have a list, if you will, and it's only a very short list, sign gifts. Those were, if you were, indicators. There when the church began, sign gifts of healing, sign gifts of wonders or miracles, sign gifts of prophecy, and languages. And I have in parentheses tongues. It's a shame that, unfortunately, when the translation was done in the English, there in, especially in Acts chapter 1, where you have glossolalia, and the King James translated that tongues. Glossa means tongue, but glossolalia means using the tongue for speech, for language. So glossolalia really meant language. And unfortunately, with that translation in tongues, it's taken on feet and has run throughout the centuries, okay? But it was known languages. There were no less than 15 languages there in Acts chapter 2, and dialects, if you will, that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, gave the apostles, the disciples of Christ, the ability to speak in foreign languages that they never spoke before. And that's a miracle. And that was also, if you will, an attestation to the gospel that they were proclaiming, but it was also something else. This miracle impartation of the ability to speak foreign languages was also a declaration to the nation of Israel that a new era, a new dispensation, a new age has begun, the church age. Now in Isaiah, the Lord prophesies through Isaiah, the prophet, that Israel would hear a word from God in different languages. It happened on the day of Pentecost. And Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians, that the language it was given by the Holy Spirit was to be assigned to unbelieving Israel as a nation, so that they would come to repent. And many did individually, but not as a nation. Now there is coming a time when the nation of Israel will repent, and God will use them and work in them as a nation. But right now, praise God, there are Jewish men, women, and boys and girls coming to Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior. Amen? So there were sign gifts. There's no dispute there. But the discussion and sometimes debate, well, did they cease? Did they cease? And yet God is still working. He is. God is still healing. But we don't have a healing ministry. If I can remember, well, I won't mention his name. But I can remember growing up as a boy, they were on TV. They had these healing, these faith healers. You remember that when you were growing up? They're even about today, okay? That gift was specifically given to the apostles. When you read the book of Acts, in the very beginning of the book of Acts, when that gift was being manifested, that miracle healing, if you will, was through the apostles. Not through the disciples of Christ. Not just through you and me. Okay? So I believe when the apostles came to an end, the apostleship of Christ, that gift of healing stopped. Let's take a look at some of the others, if you will. Tongues, as I say, that was a language. Boy, I tell you, I wish that when Diana and I first went to Indonesia that we had that God-given gift through the Holy Spirit that we could speak Indonesian just like that, you know? But it took us a while. We had to learn. I'm a slow learner. My wife is not. She picked it up real well. And so, but it was a language. It was a language then. It's a language today. Gifts, sign gifts, healing, wonders, prophecy, and language. Healings and wonders, they were performed by the apostles. We have some references there for you. Prophecy ceased when the completion of the canon, with the completion of the New Testament. I find it interesting. There are various groups, and they gather together, and someone will stand up and say, I have a prophecy from the Lord. And it is so vague that anything could happen to fulfill that prophecy. I believe the prophetic ministry that God blessed the church was for a period of time. I believe once the canon, once the Bible, once the New Testament was complete, we have all that we need in the revelation of God's truth. Okay? Language is, of course, supernaturally imparted. The sign gifts, and you have a statement before you there, the sign gifts were to confirm the gospel message, validate the apostles of Christ, and to give the announcement to the nation of Israel that something new has come. What was that something new that came? The church. The church. And you and I are part of that something new that came. And along with that position, along with that blessing, you and I have responsibilities. And just think of this. God has equipped us and is equipping us for those responsibilities through spiritual gifts. Let's take a look, if you will. He works through his sovereign and all-sufficient grace. One of us can't say, you know, Lord, I really don't want this gift. It really doesn't stir my heart. I'm really not getting worked up over this gift that I have. I want to sing like Marcia. Not that high, okay? No. You see, the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts to you and to me according to his sovereign and all-sufficient grace. Those gifts become a manifestation of God's grace, sovereignly bestowed upon each of us, because we all have a position. We all have a part. We all have a ministry. Aren't you glad? I sure am. And I still want to sing like Marcia. I guess I should have said like Steve. Oh, well, I love you both. I really do. I love the way you sing. Let's go on. All these gifts, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. All these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions or distributes to each one individually as he wills. All gifts are important and are God's sovereign grace. Whatever gift or gifts you have, they are important. We need them. We need you. You belong. You belong in the body of Christ for three things: to promote unity, to foster spiritual growth, and also to glorify God. Isn't that neat? Yeah. And each member is important as an expression of God's grace in the church. He goes on to say, Paul, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about Christ and us together. Did you get that? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ and us together. And so he in his sovereign will, has apportioned those gifts through his wonderful grace. But by the grace of God, take a look at what Paul says, and I'm sure you can identify this with Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul was a hater of Christ. He was a hater of Christians. He was a persecutor of the church. He says, I am what I am because now I'm redeemed. I've been changed. I've been saved. I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace toward me was not in vain. Just to pick up this point, there's a time in a Christian's life when the grace of God that is poured out and showered upon us, that we can not receive it, and God's grace would be in vain then. God's grace would be in vain if we don't use those gifts of grace for three things. What are they? To promote unity, right? To foster growth, and to glorify God. Are you doing that? Through the gifts that God has given? Now again, he works in many other ways too, but today we're looking at the spiritual gifts. Paul goes on to say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, that by his grace toward me was not in vain. It worked, and it continues to work. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, Paul says, but the grace of God that is within me. You see, the same grace that gives you the gift by the Holy Spirit is the same grace that enables and empowers you to use that gift. So none of us can say, you know, I can't do it. In and of ourselves, we can't. But by the grace of God, like the Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I worked harder than others, but not I. It was the grace of God in me. Take a look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, sometimes these things inhibit us working and using those spiritual gifts of ministry. Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives so we can really rely upon him for the strength, the power, the wisdom, the grace to do what he is gifted and gracious to do. And so sometimes he allows weaknesses to come into our lives. And sometimes we use that as an excuse. The grace of God is now in vain. And sometimes it's an insult. Well, I'm insulted. I'm not going to. No, no, no. God has allowed that to come into your life so you and I can understand what grace means. In spite of the insults, in spite of the weaknesses, in spite of what he has here, hardships, persecutions, calamities, I can, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you can, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you can serve, you can use that spiritual gift for his glory. Three things. What were they? What are they? To promote unity, foster growth, and glorify God. Yes, you can. Let's go on, if you will, as we continue. God's all-sufficient grace is both a divine action and an enablement in us. That's clear. He works through each of us for the spiritual growth of all. If I'm going to grow, I need you. If you're going to grow, you need me. We need each other, don't we? Again, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ and all of us together. Think of all the one another commands. Pray for one another, serve one another, build one another up, fellowship with all those one another commands. Why? Because Christ loves his body and every member in the body. And you have a part. You belong. You have a ministry. And the Holy Spirit will work through you. Let's go on, if you will, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's spiritual growth. That's spiritual growth. Spiritual gifts are given to every member of the body of Christ for three reasons: to promote unity, to foster growth, and to glorify God. Amen? Yes. Let's go on. There is a common goal for all of us: Christ-likeness. The gifts are for the gospel and for our spiritual growth. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4, you have that before you, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in what? Love. Love. You see, every believer in Christ has a functioning place in the body of Christ. I want you to turn with me. If you have the Pew Bible, turn to page 1137. 1137. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 18 through 20. Because here Paul is saying every believer has a functioning place in the body of Christ. Paul says it there in Ephesians. But take a look, if you will, what some could say, but Paul has declared. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're looking at verse 18, and right on through to verse 20. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses, sovereign grace, God's sovereignty, in all we are, in if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. He's saying that in the context and conclusion where there's a person maybe in the body of Christ saying, you know, I don't really feel like I belong here. I don't feel like I have a place here. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, yes, you do. You see, if the whole body was just teachers, or if the whole body was just mercy showers, we need all the gifts. So each member has a part and a function in the body. Let's go on, if you will, because there's some who would say, you know, we really don't need you. And that's what Paul says in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, and he's using the anatomical illustration, if you will, the body of Christ likened unto the physical body, your body, my body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Sometimes members say that or act that way to other members. I don't need you. Now, they might not say that literally, but they act that way. And that causes divisions. That robs God of glory. That diminishes our growth. Don't forget, there are three reasons, three purposes for spiritual gifts. Active in the body of Christ. What are they? To promote unity, right? To foster spiritual growth. And to what? To glorify God. Okay, let's go on. Take a look, if you will, at verses 25 through 26. Just in case maybe you're thinking, I don't belong here. Yes, you do. God has planted you here. You belong here. You're part of the body of Christ if you're born again. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, yeah, we do. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Aren't you glad? I sure am. That's how the body functions. And that's where the gifts are being ministered. Well, every believer in Christ has a part in the growth of the body. Each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Have you found your place of ministry in the body of Christ here? Have you? I pray you have. Now, there are many, many who have and are working behind the scenes, doing various things. We've seen that both here at Stateside as on the mission field. I think of Ibu Nofi and her continuing relationship with my wife and our relationship there, and the spiritual gifts that Ibu Nofi had there at the Bible school. I think of many others. I think of Willie Decker, who came to know the Lord at 83. Think of that. Man, one foot in the grave, the other on a banana split, right? Yeah. But God saved him. And he knew that he was saved. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. And Willie Decker was a great encourager. When he was growing up as a teenager there in Denmark, he would practice, learn certain magician tricks. And so he loved to try magician tricks, if you will, with the kids and communicate the gospel that way. And Willie Decker was also a generous giver. There is a gift of giving. All give, and we all should give. But there's some that are gifted by the Holy Spirit for being a very generous giver. I think of Catherine Wilson, late in her 80s and still playing the organ there at Surgeonsville. Still a great counselor of women, still a great encourager, a builder-upper of women. I think of Vic and Linda Bosky coming to know Jesus Christ out of a Roman Catholic background. And how they loved Jesus so much, they wanted their family to know Christ, they wanted their neighbors to know Christ, and they opened up their home, and they had the gift of service, they had hospitality, and they had a Bible study going on there. Why? So that friends and loved ones could come to hear about Jesus Christ. Oh, we could go on. But I know there are many here in our church, and I don't want to embarrass you, but there are many here in our church too. They're doing many things behind the things. I thank the Lord for Corey and Frank and the way they plowed out. Now, we had a lot of snow. You know that. I thank the Lord for many others. If I don't name you, please don't take offense. Please don't, okay? But I want to recognize, and I want you to recognize too, it doesn't mean that you have to be a teacher. It doesn't mean that you have to do this or that. But what the Holy Spirit has given you to minister with, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Okay? So, question. Have you found your place of ministry in the body of Christ? Are you letting the Holy Spirit work in you and through you? Through the gifts that he's given you? For three things. Okay? To what? Promote unity. Foster spiritual growth. And glorify God. Are you experiencing the Spirit-given joy in serving Jesus? Not only have we, over 42 years now in ministry, have we met men and women and boys and girls who serve the Lord with great joy, but you and I both have met Christians, professing Christians. They don't seem to have any joy at all. Have you ever met some? Every week I meet some. And I wonder why. I think one of the reasons is they're trying to do something in their own strength and something the Holy Spirit has never gifted them to do. I come across believers, and you do too. They know what the Holy Spirit has gifted them to do, and they are doing it in the grace of God, and they're doing it with great joy. I'm not saying you're up on the mountaintop all the time. I have my downtime too, and you do too. But beloved, if it's 724, 365 a year, and every year of your saved life in Jesus Christ, something's wrong if you're down all the time. Now there is help, and there is wholeness that the Holy Spirit can bring into a life. So I'm not discounting that there are those who are clinically depressed. There are those who go through battles with depression. I have some brothers and sisters in Christ that do that also. But they don't let that define them. And they don't let that to be an excuse for what God is doing. Amen? Yeah. Well, there really is joy in serving Jesus. And so, how does the Holy Spirit want to use you? Through the spiritual gifts that he's given you. For three reasons. To promote unity, to foster spiritual growth, and to glorify God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that he is the comforter. He is the one who brings peace, a peace of God that is beyond our comprehension. He brings joy unspeakable and full of glory into our lives. And even when we're down, and we do get down, Father, you know that, and we know that, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and lifts us up. And oftentimes, Father, I thank you that I have experienced that lifting up by the Holy Spirit through the life and ministry of another brother or sister in Christ. So, Father, we pray together as a church family. We thank you for the spiritual gifts you've given to each of us. And we pray that, Father, we will use them in the grace that you give us to use them, the opportunities you give us to use them for your glory, to foster spiritual growth, and to promote unity in the body of Christ here. In Jesus' name, amen.